RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. National Narcotics Agency BNN ministerial move supported by law enforcement leaders. South Korean investors are interested to shipbuilding investment in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Chief of National Police's Criminal Investigations Unit, Commissioner General Anang Iskandar on Saturday welcomed the government's plan to increase the status of National Narcotics Agency BNN to the ministerial level. The plan was first floated under the leadership of Commissioner General retired Goris Meri before his retirement in 2012, with little action since. Current BNN Chief Commissioner General Budi Waseso said President Joko Widodo has strong support for the furthering the reach of the institution. Waseso suggested the structure of the agency would be improved if it reached the ministerial level, including better facilities and equipment. Nevertheless, the three-star general did not comment on the possible four-star promotion for him. He requested BNN improvements not be related to individual ranks. According to Waseso, the BNN will have greater responsibility in securing and protecting Indonesians against drug abuses. South Korean investors expressed their interest to invest in the shipbuilding sector in Indonesia with an investment of $80 million, said the head of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, in a press statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. The investment interest of the South Korean investors is one of the follow-up of the last week visit of the head of BKBM. Frankie said, South Korean investors expressed their interest to invest in the shipbuilding sector in Indonesia with an investment of $80 million, said the head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKBM, Frankie Sibarani, in a press statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. The investment interest of the South Korean investors is one of the follow-up of the last week visit of the head of BKBM. Frankie said that South Korea's investors are interested in the business of marine transportation, especially to provide two gas transport vessels. According to him, to realize their interest, South Korean investors will send two natural gas commodity carrier vessels. In addition, he said, there are opportunities for the construction of gas terminal as storage or warehouse. Therefore, South Korean investors will soon conduct a field visit to Indonesia to seek local partners. According to Frankie, this time, not only the magnitude of the investment that Indonesia is looking for, but their added value for Indonesia. Through the investment interest, indicated there is a sizable and sustainable in the marine transportation industry. Vice President Yusuf Kalla admitted employment system still has many problems. As a result, labor union often held demonstrations. However, Vice President believes workers will be more stable along with the implementation of a new wage system by the government. Yusuf Kalla while giving a speech in the Indonesian International Furniture Expo 2016 in Jakarta recently explained that the new wage system uses economic growth and inflation as labor wage increases formula. By doing so, the vice president said labor wage will rise each year. The vice president admitted that the government policy was protested by labor union. However, he said the new formula was clearly better than the old formula that was using decent living components as a reference. Directorate General of Islamic Education, Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs, Komarudin Amin in Palu on Saturday said that all state Islamic higher education, such as State Islamic College or STAIN, State Islamic Institute, IAIN, and the State Islamic University, OIN, in Indonesia, should contribute to the society and government. Therefore, he said, the campus cannot close its eyes and ears to the dynamics of or problem that is being faced by the people and governments both nationally or locally. Komarudin said, Islamic universities should not be disconnected and isolated from society, industry, and government. In fact, Islamic universities should be centers of human civilization development and research and providing science in accordance with the conditions and evolving dynamics. Islamic universities should prepare competitive human resources, qualified human resources, who has capacity in its field, to support the nation's competitiveness and able to solve problems that is being faced by society and government. The last item. The Red Island, with its beautiful beach in Banyuwangi District, East Java, is being promoted at IITB Berlin from March 9th to 13th, 2016. The International Tourismus Board in Berlin, IITB Berlin, is the world's largest travel trade fair, where Red Island and other tourist destinations in Indonesia are being promoted. As the world's largest travel and trade fair, the IITB Berlin provides a unique opportunity to look behind the curtain of the global tourism industry. Each year, the IITB Berlin welcomes around 10,000 exhibitors from more than 180 countries and regions, including Indonesia. The Perhutani Head for Tourism and Agribusiness, Lis Bahunta, remarked in Berlin Saturday, participating in the IITB Berlin 2016 Indonesia State-Owned Forestry Forum, Perum Perhutani, promoted the Red Island in Banyuwangi and 236 other tourist destinations in different cities on Java Island. For the past several years, Perum Perhutani has put serious effort to develop tourism on Java Island and to promote tourism attractions to an international audience. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. National Narcotics Agency BNN ministerial move support by law enforcement leaders. South Korean investors are interested to shipbuilding investment in Indonesia. That was the news.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Steve in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, presenting you various interesting events from across Indonesia during the week. Listener, last Wednesday, March the 9th, tens of thousands of people in Makassar, Sulawesi started flocking to Losari Beach Pavilion at 6 a.m. Central Indonesia Time to join the Batu Ratema Ribulang Festival, which means I have been to the moon. This festival is a unique religious activity during the solar eclipse. The name Batu Ratema Ribulang means to remind that Bugis Makassar people have dreamt of human can reach the moon for a long time. This ritual is held only when the solar eclipse happens. After the solar eclipse prayer, Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdan Pomanto led the Batu Ratema Ribulang festival consisting of zikir, which is religious chant, and another prayer. Meanwhile, in Sigi Regency, Central Sulawesi, traditional ritual in total solar eclipse was held on Wednesday by involving Kulawi and Pakuli traditional figures. The total solar eclipse ritual was centered in front of traditional houses built by Sigi Regency Tourism and Creative Economy Service in Pakuli Village, Gumbasa District, Sigi Regency. The ritual began when the solar eclipse happened with a dance by housewives and teen girls. Muhammad Nawir, coordinator of Total Solar Eclipse Ritual, said that the point of the ritual is gratitude and prayer for safety, togetherness, working together, as well as wealthy and happy life. This traditional ritual ceremony attracted thousands of people, including visitors from around the world who wanted to witness the total solar eclipse from Pakuli Village, one of four total solar eclipse observation spots in Sigi Regency. Vice President Joseph Kalla also witnessed the total solar eclipse with people in Kota Pulu Village Field, Dolo District, Sigi Regency last Wednesday. He hoped that there is a new finding of science from the nature of phenomenon total solar eclipse. Meanwhile, Biology Research Center at the National Institute of Science, or LIPI, learned about the effect of total solar eclipse happening in several areas in Indonesia in the abnormal captivity of LIPI Cibinong Science Center on Wednesday, March 9, 2016. Researchers observed the abnormal attitude of the mammals, birds, reptiles, and insects before, during, and after the total solar eclipse. LIPI spokeswoman Ruliana said that the observation and their research were done to see the effect of the solar eclipse on animals' abnormal behavior. LIPI deployed two teams to conduct the research. The first team did the observation. In Rolelindu, Ruliana said the observation center was done to the bats, birds, reptiles, and insects, while in Cibinong captivity, it focused on reptiles, mammals, and birds. LIPI researchers at the Nutrition Laboratory and Wild Animals Captivity of LIPI Biology Research Center, Watika Rosa Farida, said in Cibinong that total solar eclipse could change attitude of some animals, particularly diurnal animals. According to her, although Bogor, West Java was covered by 90% only, in general some animals experienced changed behavior when solar eclipse occurred. For example, sloth and squirrel, which showed aggressive activities when the sun was covered. According to Rosa, the changes are caused by animal instinct. She added that sun becomes a bad alarm or biological clock for the animals to do their activities. Rosa explained that animals' attitude changes may become signals to figure out other natural events such as earthquake, mound eruption, and tsunami. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello there, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1988. The Seikan Tunnel, the longest undersea tunnel in the world, opens between Aomori and Hakodate, Japan. The Seikan Tunnel is a 53.85 kilometers railway tunnel in Japan with a 23.3 kilometers long portion under the seabed. The track level is about 100 meters below the seabed and 240 meters below sea level. It travels beneath the Sugaru Strait, connecting Aomori Prefecture on the main Japanese island of Honshu with the northern island of Hokkaido. The Seikan Tunnel is the deepest operational mainline rail tunnel in the world and the second longest after the Gotthard Base Tunnel in Switzerland. While the Seikan Tunnel is also the longest undersea tunnel in the world, the Channel Tunnel between the United Kingdom and France has a longer undersea portion. Over now to 1991. The United States Department of Justice announces that Exxon has agreed to pay $1 billion US dollars for the cleanup of the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska. The Exxon Valdez oil spill occurred in Prince William Sound, Alaska on March the 24th, 1989, when Exxon Valdez, an oil tanker bound for Long Beach, California, struck Prince William Sound's Bly Reef, spilled 11 to 38 million U.S. gallons of crude oil over the next few days. It is considered to be one of the most devastating human-caused environmental disasters. The region is a habitat for salmon, sea otters, seals, and seabirds. The oil, originally extracted at the Prudhoe Bay oil field, eventually covered 1,300 miles or 2,100 kilometers of coastline and 28,000 square kilometers of ocean. And last is from 1954, First Indochina War. Viet Minh forces under Vo Nguyen Giap unleashed a massive artillery barrage on the French to begin the Battle of Dien Bien Phu, the climactic battle in the First Indochina War. The Battle of Dien Bien Phu was the climactic confrontation of the First Indochina War between the French Union's French Far East Expeditionary Corps and Viet Minh Communist Nationalist Revolutionaries. It was, from the French view before the event, a set-piece battle to draw out the Vietnamese and destroy them with superior firepower. The battle occurred between March and May 1954 and culminated in a comprehensive French defeat that influenced negotiation over the future of Indochina at Geneva. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Headline of the Week, entitled Indonesia-Malaysia Cooperate to Develop Border Areas. Indonesia and Malaysia will cooperate to develop border areas in four fields, namely border villages development, tourism, plantation, and agriculture. That was the result of meeting between villages, disadvantaged regions and Transmigration Minister Marwan Jafar and Rural and Regional Development Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia last Wednesday. Minister Marwan Jafar told the press that the meeting is the commitment of the Indonesian government through the development of villages, disadvantaged regions and transmigration. The meeting held the wholly owned subsidiary of Pelabuhan Mara Berhad office arrived at some important agreements for the two countries. First, focusing on development in the villages in border areas of the two countries. Secondly, addressing a plan to open trade potential for plantation sector commodities between the two countries. Thirdly, big potential on tourism sector in the villages. And fourthly, addressing agriculture focused on increasing village entrepreneurs or village enterprises or BUMD. According to Minister Marwan Jafar, village is a locus of domestic agriculture and food security development. Agricultural sector needs to be strengthened as it has become the main backbone of rural areas to reach independent village with strong food security. Strengthening in agricultural sector is expected to grow border areas economy. On Thursday, March the 10th, Minister Marwan Jafar met Malaysian Minister of Agriculture and Industry Ahmad Shabri Chik. In the meeting, Minister Shabri explained the task of ministry that he leads, namely handling things related to food and agriculture. According to him, agriculture is not only to eradicate poverty, but also to help the farmers in developing their products to be exported. Minister Shabri admitted that he was impressed with one of Indonesian products, namely kerupuk or crackers, in Sidoarjo, East Java. He wants to learn from Indonesia how to make the kerupuk into worth selling food in the restaurants. Kerupuk Sidoarjo or Sidoarjo crackers taste good and its package is attractive. Minister Ahmad Shabri Chik stated that kerupuk is a village product that can be developed more and more. If the marketing is good, the village product can go international. People in various countries may be attracted by the product to be consumed daily. Well, listener, that's the highlight of the week.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start on Sunday, March 6, 2016. Indonesian Tourism Ministry has encouraged the national low-cost carriers to serve direct flights from Indonesia to South Korea in an effort to help foreign tourists enter the country. Assistant to Deputy of the Asia-Pacific Market Development Affairs of the Tourism Ministry, Vincentius Jemadu, on Sunday in Jeju, South Korea, said, so far, only Garuda Indonesia with its full services serving direct flight to South Korea. On the other hand, direct flight from South Korea to Indonesia was conducted by Korean Airlines and Asiana Airlines. According to Jemadu, the LCC direct flights will have foreign tourists travel with lower fares. Tourism Ministry is also trying to boost the opening of direct flight by the South Korea's LCC planes to a number of cities in Indonesia as expected by South Korea's visitors. On Monday, March 7, 2016, Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a bilateral meeting with Pakistani President Mamnoon Hussein on the sidelines of the 5th Extraordinary Organization of Islamic Cooperation Summit taking place in Jakarta on Monday. During the meeting, the leaders of both countries agreed to voice peace around the world and to encourage the unity of the OIC member states to support settlement in Palestine and Al-Quds Al-Sharif. In addition, President Joko Widodo also said that both countries' leaders have also agreed to boost economic cooperation. According to President Joko Widodo, Pakistan is a huge market for Indonesian products, but there are still more opportunities for both Indonesia and Pakistan to explore bigger potential for trade cooperation.
Dan kita bersepakat juga untuk bekerjasama menyuarakan perdamaian dan toleransi.
We agreed to cooperate to voice our peace and tolerance. We also agreed to increase our economic cooperation. We know that Pakistan is a huge market with a total of 200 million population. Our trade to Pakistan reaches more than $2 billion, but still we see the potentials. Moreover, President Joko Widodo expressed that besides encouraging the world's peace effort and developing trade cooperation, Indonesia and Pakistan have agreed to increase cooperation in counter-terrorism and extremism. Both countries also cooperate in the framework of Bali Process, namely in irregular migrant issue. On Tuesday, March 8, 2016, State Airport Operator PT Angkasa Pura II has temporarily suspended Bali-bound flights in observance of the Day of Silence or Nyepi. As quoted by Tempo.com, Soekarno-Hatta International Airport Senior General Manager Suryawan Wakan said that the suspension was put in place starting on Tuesday, March the 8th, beginning on 18 Western Indonesia time and will be effective until the end of Wednesday. Suryawan also said that the staffs of Denpasar's Ngurah Rai Airport have already begun to prepare for the closure of the airport. As a result, 43 Denpasar-bound flights will not be operating throughout the Nyepi holiday. On Wednesday, March 9, 2016, Border Security Task Force in the region Indonesian Malaysian Battalion Unit 144 Jaya Yuda foiled an attempt to smuggled 2 kg methamphetamine at Karanghol, Sanggau Regency, West Kalimantan on Wednesday. Head of Information Public of Information Center of Indonesian Military, Colonel Sizi Balin Gay, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the arrest was started by the examination of cross-border lines in front of checkpoint by a soldier of Regional Military Command 2 Sriwijaya. Colonel C.Z. Berlin added that the command of the Border Security Task Force commanded Indonesian Malaysian Battalion Unit 144 Jaya Yuda increased their vigilance to anticipate the activities of drug trafficking and hazardous materials that enter the territory of the Republic of Indonesia.
On Thursday, March 10, 2016, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi will inaugurate the Indonesian Republic's Honorary Consul Office and the appointed official in charge of in Ramallah, Palestine, on March 13. The Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir stated on Thursday in Jakarta that the opening of the Honorary Consul Office of Indonesia in Ramallah is a testament to the country's commitment and political support to the Palestinians and will serve as the Indonesian representative in Ramallah. Armanata noted that the Indonesian Honorary Consul task in Ramallah was to boost economic and social relations between the Indonesian and Palestinian people, as well as to provide protection to the Indonesian citizens in Ramallah. On Friday, March 11, 2016, Professor of Psychological Science of University of Indonesia, Hamdi Muluk said in Jakarta on Friday that de-radicalization cannot be underestimated in countering terrorism because it is one of ways to make radical people to be non-radical people. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Hamdi said it takes much time to make radical people be aware. Even the process of approach and realization is complicated. He added that it needs contemplation as well appropriate strategy to communicate with them. Listener, that was the Weekend Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Chief of National Police's Criminal Investigations Unit, Commissioner General Anang Iskandar on Saturday welcomed the government's plan to increase the status of Narcotics Agency BNN to the ministerial level. South Korean investors expressed their interest to invest in the shipbuilding sector in Indonesia with an investment of $80 million, said the head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, in a press statement received in Jakarta on Saturday. Vice President Yusuf Kala admitted employment system still has many problems. As a result, labor union often held demonstrations. However, Vice President believes workers will be more stable along with the implementation of a new wage system by the government. Directorate General of Islamic Education, Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs Komarudin Amin in Palu said that all state Islamic higher education, such as State Islamic College, State Islamic Institute, and the State Islamic University in Indonesia, should contribute to the society and government. The Red Island, with its beautiful beach in Banyuwangi District, East Java, is being promoted at IITB Berlin from March 9th to 13th, 2016. The IITB Berlin is the world's largest travel trade fair where Red Island and other tourist destinations in Indonesia are being promoted. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today's edition will inform you about Padaido Islands Marine Park in Biak, Papua. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. The name Hokkaido comes from the local language, which means beauty beyond expression. According to a study conducted by the Biodiversity Conservation Network, Hokkaido Islands have the greatest biodiversity of coral ecosystems in the world. Hokkaido hosts 95 species of coral and 155 species of fish, such as various types of reef sharks and octopus, as well as a lot of other maritime wealth. Hokkaido itself is a cluster of coral islands with 30 islets in the Pacific Ocean on the eastern side of the island of Biak, Papua. Hokkaido has a wonderful marine park, which is quite amazing, attracting divers from home and abroad as lovers of the underwater world to visit. Formerly, these islands were called Schouter Islands, derived from the name of the group leader of Dutch sailors who first discovered the islands in 1602, William Schouter. Hokkaido Islands have around 9,252 square hectare coral reefs. According to some international divers, this is an area that has the most spectacular coral reefs in the world. If you happen to be in Biak and want to visit Hokkaido Islands, you can go to Tip Top Port in Biak and rent a speedboat to the islands. The journey across the sea takes about 3 hours. On the way, you can see traditional fishing boats and some dolphins appear on the surface of the crystal blue water. Wow, it's so beautiful. However, you should pay attention to the time of tide. Due to the condition of seawater, which is quickly receding and can be dangerous because of the many reefs, which may put some danger to the ship or a boat. To see the beauty under the sea like some caves, you need to dive to a depth of 12 meters. In addition to the caves below, you will also see some remains of shipwrecks, aircraft, and also other war equipment from World War II. It's so interesting. If you want to go diving, preferably do it when the weather is clear so that the reflection of sunlight can illuminate up to the depth of 15 meters. You'd better bring enough food because once you are in the water and spend quite a lot of energy, you will feel hungry and thirsty. If you have a plan to stay, you can stay in one of the islands. The inn is not luxurious but can be used as a comfortable resting place. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring a wonderful marine park of Hokkaido Islands in Biak, Papua. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Ministry of Youth and Sports Affairs' plan to establish music bank, so stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Thank you. Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports Affairs has planned to establish the first music bank in Indonesia, which will be a forum to collect, preserve, and develop Indonesian music and songs that exist throughout the country. Special staff of the Ministry of Youth and Sports Affairs, Zainul Munasihin, recently in Jakarta said the idea to create the music bank was due to various issues that plaguing the world of music in the country. One of them is the rampant case of piracy that has been destructive to the music industry. The ministry assesses these violations have a great impact, which is detrimental to all parties, including musicians, producers, and the state. The music bank is designed to gather all songs in the country, both traditional and modern ones, with the aims that the music is not only sustainable but also can be developed more professionally. He explained that the ministry would ask music collectors to donate or at least provide a copy of their collections to be kept in the music bank. In the future, the music bank will be equipped with a digital facility that will provide convenience to the public to access the music, to protect copyrights, and to avoid piracy. The Ministry of Youth and Sports Affairs is to establish the music bank. The facility will also be supported by a transaction system. It is expected that in addition to being the center of all types of music, the music bank will also become a gathering place for youth to be creative and develop their talent that in turn will give birth to musicians that are reliable and professional. Zainul Munasihin said the ministry will involve a number of competent parties and communities to sharpen the concept of this music bank so that rampant cases of piracy by irresponsible parties can be anticipated. Based on existing data, since 2013, losses suffered by musicians, producers, and the state due to the recorded music piracy have reached ₱1 trillion per year. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Jose Socorro Soeiro Marano in Brazil. He was listening to our broadcast in French through frequency of 9525 kHz on February 21st, 2016. Hello, Mr. Jose. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. In his email, he said that he has listened to our radio since 1988 with many of his friends. But unfortunately, our signal is very poor and the SINPO was only 25222. Mr. Jose, we are really sorry for your inconvenience and we'll deliver your complaint to our technical division. But thank you very much for your compliment where you said and you congratulated for our transmission standard and for the good communication. If you wish, we suggest you to tune in our radio through our website at www.voi.co.id. As your request, we'll deliver our QSL card to your address as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro Marano in Brazil, we are looking forward to receiving your next email, certainly with your reception report of our broadcast and also your criticism. Thank you very much. And listener, before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Mr. Mizanur Rahman in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Mizanur Rahman. Thank you very much for your email and also your reception report starting from January the 1st to the 5th, 2016, with SINPO of virtually 44444. We are really glad because our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. Hopefully, information and entertainment which has been presented by VOI Cruise can be useful for you. We are waiting for your suggestion and also criticism on our broadcast. Well, Mr. Mizanur Rahman, keep listening to our broadcast and we are waiting for your next email. Well, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Mencari cinta tinggallah kenangan berakhir lewat bunga seluruh cintaku untuknya bunga terakhir ku persembahkan kepada yang
sebagai satu tanda cinta untuknya.
Listeners, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag program broadcast every Sunday, and we'll continue to reply a comment from Andreas Boehm in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in English and also German through frequency of 9525 kHz on January 26, 2016, and the SINPO was 33333. Hello, Mr. Andreas Boehm. Danke schön for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Although the SINPO in your country was only 33333, I think it is quite good signal. So, what is your favorite segment? Do you like Indonesian music? As information, every day we always present Indonesian music and also Indonesian wonder, where we tell about tourism objects in various regions across Indonesia. If you want to learn Bahasa Indonesia, you can learn through a segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Lass uns Indonesisch sprechen. And we have many other interesting information about Indonesia. So, Mr. Andreas Boehm, please keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report in detail. Thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song for all of you. Let's check it out.
Hancur hatiku mengenang jika menjadi keping-keping setelah kau pergi. Tinggalkan kasih sayang yang pernah singgah antara kita. Masihkah ada sayang itu? Memang salahku yang tak pernah bisa meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau untuk terus bersama, kan ada hati yang kan terluka, dan ku tahu kau tak mau. Sekali lagi maafkanlah, karena aku cinta kau dan dia. Maafkanlah, ku tak bisa tinggalkan dirinya. Mungkin tak mungkin ku terus bersama, jalani semua cinta yang telah dijalani. Tapi bila itu yang kau pikir yang terbaik untukmu, bahagiaku untuk dirimu. Sekali lagi maafkanlah, karena aku cinta kau dan dia. Maafkanlah, ku tak bisa tinggalkan dirinya. Cerita cinta berdua, walau telah tercipta.
cerita cinta berdua. Mungkin tak mungkin ku terus bersama, jalani semua cinta yang telah dijalani. Tapi bila itu yang kau pikir yang terbaik untukmu, bahagiaku untuk dirimu. Sekali lagi maafkanlah, karena aku cinta kau.
And listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. For your information, next Tuesday on March the 15th, we are going to have Diplomatic Forum program jointly broadcast by Pro 1 RRI Jakarta. And the program, the talk show program, will be broadcast also on english.rriworldservice.com at 12 to 13 p.m. or at 5 to 600 hours UTC. And we also invite our listeners to participate in the talk show through our Skype account, VOI Indonesia, VOI Indonesia. You can ask our sources, our speakers at the Diplomatic Forum. And the talk show themes global cooperation in coping with radicalism. So stay tuned in our Diplomatic Forum program. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ani Hasana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Wahai cintaku, andaikan kau tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service,
Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.